would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And while you're turning there, I do want to say that we've enjoyed very much being here, and we appreciate all that the church has done to take care of us. I know had someone give up their house and allow us to stay there, and someone give up their truck and allow us to to drive that. The only thing I haven't enjoyed about that is usually when you visit places and you don't know where things are, where you're turning, and you do the wrong thing, if you have out-of-state license plates, they forgive you. And we definitely look like we are Alaskans in the vehicle we're in. So that's not been the best to for them to think that we know our way around when we don't. But we do appreciate that. We've enjoyed the fellowship and the meals over here, and very much appreciate all of that. And it's been good to get to know your pastor a little bit better. And so this morning we're going to start in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this church and, Lord, this missions conference that we've been able to be a part of. I pray that you would bless throughout the day today, help with each of the services. And, Lord, I pray now that you would bless this service. I pray that you would help me as I share your word. Pray that you might give me liberty. And Lord, you might challenge each one that's here this morning. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to notice in particular the comment in verse 36 when it says Jesus was moved with compassion on the multitudes. His concern for them was that they were sheep having no shepherd. And so this morning I want to study a little bit about this issue of sheep and a shepherd. And I want to start with just some comments that we'll get into a lot of Bible, but just some comments about sheep and their nature. You know, God created every living creature with a specific nature. And because of their nature, they have specific needs. And that their needs and their nature cause these different creations to behave different ways, and we call that instinct, right? And so, you know, you don't teach a fish how to swim. It's part of its instinct. You don't teach it to stay in the water. That's its nature. You don't have to teach a bird how to fly because that's part of its nature, and it does these things instinctively. Birds migrate instinctively, and all these things because of the wonders of creation. And so when you think about sheep, there are several things that about sheep because of the way God made them. Because of their nature, they have certain behaviors and they have certain needs. And the first thing that I want to mention is God created sheep with a flock mentality. Some animals are reclusive. They're perfectly willing for one to go off by itself. But sheep naturally flock together. That's their nature. You don't have to force sheep to flock. That's what they do. That's what they do instinctively. In fact, if a sheep is separated from a flock and isolated, it will immediately become stressed. And so sheep are gregarious. I'm old enough that there's some things that in a way I don't understand, like that people will go into these coffee places and they'll pack in there where you're sitting with them and you don't even know them, and there's all these people sitting. Well, why do people do that? Well, they're gregarious, and you know, they may have a book or they may have a computer or they may have a cell phone, but they still go into these places and sit with other people that they don't even know. I'm saying we are gregarious by our nature. Sheep are gregarious, and God, of course, calls us sheep, and we're going to get into that aspect. The second thing about sheep is that they are created with an inability to protect themselves. You know, they are they're poor runners. They can't climb. They don't have claws. They don't bite. Sheep are vulnerable. That's how God made them. They are very vulnerable. And the third thing is that God created sheep with an inability to lead themselves. They are unintelligent. There's certain animals you can take them, you can take them out and drop them off, and they're going to find their way home, right? Dogs can do that. Cats can do that. Homing pigeons can do that. Sheep, they can't, I don't know, whoever wrote that poem about Little Bo Peep, they didn't know a thing about sheep because they will not find their way home. They are easily lost. And so these three things, gregarious, vulnerable, and easily lost. Because of their nature, sheep need a keeper. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. And it's very interesting and significant that we find sheep mentioned in Genesis 4. This is their first mention in the Bible, and we're dealing with the first family, Adam and Eve, and their children, Cain and Abel at this time. And Genesis 4, verse 2 says, "She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep." So the very first time we find sheep, it's not the idea of something that, you know, we have some animals that we have caught and domesticated or attempted to domesticate to various levels. Sheep are from the very first mention, they have a keeper. And guess what? That Hebrew word translated keeper here is the same Hebrew word that many times throughout the Old Testament is translated shepherd. And so from the very first, we see that because of their nature, God created sheep to have a keeper, to have a shepherd. And the word means to tend a flock, to rule it, to associate with it as a friend. Shepherds are to have a very personal relationship with their sheep. With their sheep. The Bible repeatedly compares men to sheep, and not just sheep, but sheep that have gone astray. And so we recognize that our very nature leads us astray. Leads us astray. Jesus was moved with compassion over people without a shepherd. So we need what God is showing to us throughout the scriptures by using this comparison between sheep and men is that we need a relationship with someone, a personal relationship with someone who is stronger and wiser than we are. And the first step in solving this issue is we need salvation. As a good shepherd, as the good shepherd, Jesus came looking for lost sheep. In Luke 19:10, it says, "The Son of Man," referring to Jesus, "the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And in John chapter 10, let's go ahead and turn over there. Look at these verses. Jesus talks about his ministry as a shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 10. "The thief cometh not," and this is Satan, "the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So Jesus came to give his life for the sheep. He came to give his life for men who were lost and need a shepherd. And as a young man, King David came to know the Lord as his personal shepherd. He knew a lot about sheep, and he realized his own situation. And he wrote, in describing this personal relationship, and for the sake of time, we're not going to turn there right now, but in Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm in the Word of God, David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he began all through that short psalm, it's filled with personal pronouns. He, I, my, me. It's a personal relationship. Salvation is about knowing Jesus Christ personally as your shepherd. And David said, then we, as we know him, we allow him to lead us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. And so we need that same personal relationship with the Lord. You know, in many instances, God has eternal relationships mirrored in earthly relationships. As an example, he wants to be our heavenly Father, and yet he gives us each one an earthly father. And so, in the Word of God, we find that God wants to be our heavenly shepherd. Let's go back to Psalm 78. We're going to look at these quickly. We've got quite a bit to cover this morning, and the second part of this is where I really want to spend some time. So we'll go through some of it fairly quickly. Psalm 78, verse 52. "But he made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock," showing God wants to be a shepherd for his people. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 7. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart." A shepherd. Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us." So he made us with the nature we have, the needs we have, and then he wants to fill those needs. "It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And we could go on into the New Testament and find this same discussion about the Lord being the shepherd of men. We can find in John 10. We already read a couple of verses, but John 10, 27, 28. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." And so he's the good shepherd in John 10. In Hebrews 13, he's called the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5, he's called the chief shepherd. And each one of those adjectives put before that explains another layer of this that we don't have time to get into this morning. But the point is, the Lord wants to be our eternal shepherd, our heavenly shepherd, but he also desires that we have an earthly shepherd. And that's what we want to really, really call attention to this morning. The Bible teaches that God calls men to be shepherds, and he gifts them to have a ministry with sheep. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah 3, verse 15. Jeremiah 3, 15. "And I will give you pastors." And so now we've got keeper, shepherd, pastor. And we're talking about virtually the same word in each of these passages. "I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Let's go back to Numbers 27. This passage, we're going to be kind of jumping into the middle of a story here. This passage is about Moses. And the Bible tells us that Moses, of course, was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and brought up in Egypt, and yet he knew he was a Hebrew. And when he was 40 years old, he wanted to deliver his people, the Hebrews, from the Egyptians. And he attempted to do that. And sometimes the issue is timing in our life. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so he attempted to deliver the children of Israel, and it failed. And he went out in the wilderness. And as it would happen, his wife was the daughter of a shepherd. And for 40 years, Moses lived in the wilderness, learning, practicing, as it were, on physical sheep, learning the nature of sheep, learning how to deal with sheep, learning how to lead sheep. You drive cattle, you cannot drive sheep, they must be led. And so Moses learned all of this. And then God, when he's 80 years old, God said, all right, now it's time, you are prepared to lead the children of Israel. And so he went back to Egypt and led them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and for 40 years he was with them in the wilderness. And we know, you know, we're familiar with this, at least I assume most all of us are. But as he was doing that, one day when he was supposed to get water by speaking, he struck that rock. The second time he struck it, and that marred the type of Christ who is only crucified one time for the sins of the whole world. And so God said, because of this, you are not going into Canaan. And so when we come to Numbers 27, this is now coming to pass. God says, all right, you're going to go up on this mountain, you're going to look over into Canaan, but you are not going in. And God records the conversation that he and Moses have about this issue. Numbers 27, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abiram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. So God's already taken Aaron, and now he says, now it's you, Moses. Just like I took Aaron, I'm going to take you. And look at Moses' response in verse 15. Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. So Moses' dying request is to beg God for a replacement for himself. He says, these sheep, they need a shepherd. And God says, all right, I will give them Joshua. He says, you've been preparing him for this. You didn't realize it was going to happen this way, but you have trained him, you have prepared him, and now he will lead the children of Israel in. So Moses understood sheep very well. Let them not be as sheep which have no shepherd. In the New Testament, God intends for his sheep to be a part of a flock known as the local church. Many people that, after coming to the Lord and knowing him as their heavenly shepherd, they don't see this need to get in an earthly flock. But that is what God intends, for his sheep to be collected into a flock known as a local church. And he intends for a pastor to be the shepherd over that flock. Ephesians 4, verse 11, as it's talking about the gifts that God gives to the church, it says, and pastor, teacher. Pastor, teacher. The title pastor means to tend as a shepherd. It is about pasturing the flock, seeing that they are safe, secure, and fed. Pasturing the flock. So in this personal relationship, we have two participants. We have the shepherd and we have the sheep. They're not the same. God has gifted a man to be the shepherd. And we have this now personal relationship in the local church between a pastor and the congregation, the shepherd and the sheep. And each participant has specific responsibilities. Let's go over to John 10 again. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So Jesus immediately is telling us how to identify a good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life. The ministry is a life. It's not a vocation. It's not a job. It's not a career. It's a life. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, so he's getting paid to work with the sheep, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. During this last several days, we've been here in the church, and because of being here for a conference, we've been here a little longer than just, you know, going, presenting our ministry and going on, and I've watched, you know, I've watched your pastor go around and talk to you. I've watched him find different opportunities and different ways to spend time with you and to talk to you and to encourage you and to know what's going on in your life. And that's a good shepherd. He knows his sheep. You may sometimes feel like the pastor is too nosy. You may feel like he is getting into business that should be your business. Well, your business is his business. And it's a personal relationship. The job of a pastor is not to just get up three times a week and preach. It's to know his flock and to deal with his flock personally and individually. And so we see that the pastor provides for the sheep. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So here is where Jesus is called the chief shepherd. And the clear implication, it doesn't use this exact terminology, but the clear indication is that a pastor is an under-shepherd. And that he answers to the chief shepherd, and he pastors the flock where the Lord places him. And it's his responsibility to feed them. As Jesus said to Peter in John 21, he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He said, this is your job, feed the sheep. The pastor provides food. The pastor provides protection. In Acts 20, when the Apostle Paul was dealing with the church at Ephesus, and he said, my ministry with you is done. And he said, you've got to protect this flock. He said, wolves will come, and even from among your own selves, men will rise up and do the wrong thing, and a shepherd has to deal with those things. And it might seem hard. It might seem, you know, unpleasant. It might, we get emotionally involved in that, and rightly so. But the fact is, doctrine always trumps emotion. And so the pastor's job is to feed the flock, to protect the flock, and to guide the flock. It says here he guides through his example. Verse 3, being an ensample to the flock. He guides by his life. That's why the Bible sets these high standards in Timothy and Titus for the pastor about his family and his home and his children and his wife. Because he's guiding by example. He's leading in a way that men can look and see that example. And he guides through his teaching and his instruction and through his counsel. And so the pastor has some responsibilities to the sheep. The sheep have some responsibilities to the pastor. And there's a physical provision that we're not going to spend a lot of time on this morning, but you know, the thing about sheep is they provide wool, they provide milk, and obviously they can provide meat, but that's not the general intention of that relationship, right? Because a lot of animals, you know, if you an animal that you use their skin, they have to give their life. You don't skin sheep, you shear sheep. And so there's supposed to be a relationship, a back and forth relationship. But what I want to notice in particular is that the sheep must trust and obey. Trust and obey. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. You know, I've heard this verse used in relationship to politics. That's not what, there are verses that talk about politicians and how to deal with government. This verse is, I don't believe they're the ones speaking to us the word of God. So this is a pastor who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. When you see their life and you see their teaching and you see what it's producing, God says, that's worth following. That's worth obeying. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So, and we're not going to turn to Psalm 23 right now again and talk about and look at it. But David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why will I not want? Because he leadeth me. Well, if he's leading me, then I'm following him. Right? That's what's being taught. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me to green pastures. He may even be leading me through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. So sheep must follow where they are led, and sheep must eat what they are fed. Sheep do not get to pick their diet. The shepherd leads them to the field. He picks their diet. They must eat what they are fed. And sadly today, in America, in many of our Baptist churches, we have what I call a buffet mentality, right? You understand a buffet. You go down the line and you pick what you like. And you think, well, I can find something here that I want to eat. Well, that's not the Bible picture of this relationship with shepherd and the sheep. You don't get to pick and choose what parts of the pastor's preaching and teaching you want to eat. You're supposed to eat it all. You're supposed to follow it all. So sheep must follow where they are led, and sheep must eat what they are fed. The sheep must trust and obey. The sheep should take comfort in the rod and the staff. Right? David said as he got to the end of Psalm 23, he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Well, what are those two tools, the rod and the staff? Well, we're pretty familiar, I think, with the staff. We've seen pictures for years of the shepherd stands there and he's got the long pole with the hook on the end. That's a staff. The rod was basically a weapon that is attached to his girdle. It's like a club and sometimes has sharp things attached to it to make it more effective. And that's the rod. The rod is about guarding. The staff is about guiding, right? The shepherd wants to guard you, and he wants to guide you. And so some of his preaching is about don't do this, don't do that, don't get, right? Some of his direct counsel to you is you need to stop that. You need to stay away from that. Some of it is about protecting you. And some of it is about developing you, guiding you, strengthening you, encouraging you. So the rod and the staff. Let's go over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 37. "And I will cause you to pass under the rod." To pass under the rod. This was when a shepherd would put their sheep in a sheepfold, he would be the door. There's verses that talk about that. And when the sheep would go in and out, he would use that rod like we have seen some places where they would use a turnstile, where each person comes and you push that little thing, and those aren't very common anymore. They were more common when I was a boy, but different stores will have that where you push that little thing and you go through. Sometimes tourist attractions will do that so they can get an exact count of how many people are going through the gate. And the idea was the shepherd would stand at the door and he would have that rod down, and each sheep to go in and to go out had to pass under the rod. And the rod would be like, the shepherd would stop them and he would examine that sheep. That's what passing under the rod meant. He would examine that sheep. He would see if they had any injuries, if they have any parasites. He would examine the condition of that sheep, and it was personal. Continually a personal relationship. You need a church where you are a member and you personally have a pastor. I guarantee if you call up one of those people that you see on the television, they aren't going to help you. They aren't going to visit you in the hospital. They don't know you. You can send them however much money you want to send them, and they don't. It's not a personal relationship. You don't have a radio pastor. You don't have a TV pastor. You either have a pastor right here or you don't. And sheep need a shepherd. We need an eternal shepherd and we need an earthly shepherd. And that's how God intends for us to get the help and the protection and the guidance we need. And, many times I see a couple ways to get out of this auditorium, but many times these are emergencies, and the pastor will stand right there at the door, right? And you say, "Oh, no, I didn't, I don't want to see the pastor this week because he saw me, or I haven't been here for a month." The shepherd, he goes right up to you and he stops you. "How you doing? Good to see you." Why? Because you have to pass under the rod. It's your pastor's job to know what's going on in your life and to try to help you. So that should be comfort. The rod and the staff should be comfort to the sheep. What's interesting is, to a great extent, this is a voluntary relationship, especially where the sheep are concerned. Now, the shepherd, he's called by God and he's placed where God wants him, so it's not exactly voluntary. But for the sheep, this is a voluntary relationship, right? No one can make you attend here unless you're underage and your parents bring you. But I'm just saying, overall, no one's making you attend this church. And no one can make you follow your pastor. It's voluntary. The truth is, a man can only pastor you as much as you will allow him to. Right? He puts the food out and you can refuse to eat it. That's your loss. That's your loss. You're not going to be in good health if you won't follow the shepherd. If you won't eat what you're fed and you won't go where you're led, you're not going to be spiritually healthy, because sheep are to follow a shepherd. It's a voluntary relationship. It's a very blessed relationship. I've been to the Philippines a couple of times, and when I've gone to the Philippines, I've seen multitudes of people. They're everywhere. Millions of people. Masses of people. City of Manila, 15 million people in one city. And as I've looked at the Philippines and the people there, I've been filled with compassion that they are sheep and they don't know the heavenly shepherd and they don't have an earthly shepherd. And because of that compassion, the Lord is moving me to the Philippines. He's moving me there. And that's my burden, is to help people know the Lord as their shepherd. And then after they know Him, to know what it is to have a genuine Bible-preaching pastor. It's my desire to find men that God would call and gift to be a shepherd, that I could train them to be a shepherd to those sheep. That's my burden. That's the burden of Plaque Road Baptist Church right here in Alaska, to find lost sheep and to train shepherds. That's the burden. And so this morning, I would conclude with two questions. The first one is, have you allowed the Lord to be your shepherd? It's your choice. No one can make it for you. The Lord wants a personal relationship with you. He came all the way from heaven to establish that relationship. He's a good shepherd. He gave His life for the sheep. Have you allowed the Lord to be your shepherd? The second question I would ask you, if the Lord is your shepherd, He says you need an earthly shepherd. Do you allow this pastor to be your shepherd? Have you officially congregated with Plaque Road Baptist Church? Have you become a part of this flock? Sheep are gregarious. They need a flock. That's what God made us to need. That's what you need. Is this your church? Is this your pastor? Is the Lord your shepherd? Those are the questions that only you can answer. And I hope you can answer yes. And if you would answer no to any of those questions, I hope you would seriously consider what the Word of God and the Spirit of God are telling you this morning. Sheep need a shepherd. sheep need a shepherd. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we do thank you again to be in your house today. I thank you for this church and the ministry they have right here in Alaska. I thank you for Brother Humphrey, the many years that he's given to this ministry. I thank you for Pastor Dimlow, Lord, for raising him up. I thank you for the wisdom that I can see you've given him and are giving him. Thank you for the burden he has for the ministry here. Thank you for the burden he has for lost sheep. And Lord, I pray that you continue to strengthen him, enable him. And Lord, just bless each part of the ministry here and continue to accomplish your will. And Lord, I pray that you bless the other two preaching services that are to follow. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.